Today's first scripture reading will be taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Listen for the word of God. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days. When you have gathered in the produce from your refreshing floor and your wine press, rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your towns. 7 days you shall keep the festival to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. The word of the Lord. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. If you are able, please rise for the reading of today's gospel. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Screen is misbehaving. You cut that out. I don't think that's going to work, but we'll give it our best shot. Happy fall. Happy fall. Celebrations of fall. Amen? Amen. You know, we don't quite celebrate it. You know, the last church I served was in Will County. Off to this side was a cornfield, and we'd watch the pheasants playing in the cornfield. Off to that side was a lower field. It was sugar beets. Down this way were some other fields with wheat in them. And so harvest time was a serious time. Have you done okay on harvest time? You got your corn in, you got your taters dug, you got your sweet beets hauled to the dump. The campaign, that's what they call it, the sweet sugar beet campaign, is this gathering, and they dig all the sugar beets, they're about like this. And they dig them up and they haul them to this big pile. And they pile them up out of the fields in these various areas, and then through the process of several months long, they haul them to the factory and process them and make sugar. How many of you have ever seen them? And seen them hauling sugar beets? In our neck of the woods, harvest time was when you were driving down the road and you had to dodge the ones that fell off the truck. And there were several of those, so happy harvest. To be honest, even 10 years ago in Johnstown, the agricultural income was not as significant in the church. Most major farms, most of agriculture has become large corporations now. Small farms, small family gatherings, they cannot compete on economy of scale. You have to buy a $3 million tractor. You just cannot afford to do those things. So the big corporations are buying out small family farms. And kids growing up on farms see how much work it is and say, "I'm not taking over the farm when mom and dad pass." And so there's a migration, and it's sad to see that migration away from the land. Because we lose connection with the land. Humorous story, there was a preschool we had there in Johnstown, and they had field trips, several field trips during the year, and one of the field trips was always to the dairy. There were several dairies around Johnstown, and they'd load the kids up and go to the dairy. Modern dairies, wonderful operations, big operations. But the kids, many of them for the first time, would see where milk comes from. It put quite a few of them off milk for a while. They lose track of how things happen and how production of life is and what it's about. We go to the store and buy a loaf of bread without seeing the wheat and the fields and the rain and the harvest and the milling. So, the text that Nalu read for us this morning out of the Old Testament was about booths. And booths, the celebration of booths in the Jewish tradition was actually October 13th through 20th. So we're running a little late, but we're a little bit before Thanksgiving, so I'm going to toss it in here if that's all right. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days. When you've gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your wine press. Have all of you got your wine presses ready? My dad did wine once. That's another story for another time. We need to kind of adopt the festival of booths. We need to pause and reinstitute that time of pausing and saying, happy thanks for this harvest. Celebration. It has been a great harvest. You can go up north and ask some of the farmers, and it has been a good year. And we have been tremendously blessed. And we need to stop and acknowledge that. And acknowledge how good God has been to us. Burgeoning crops. I like that word, burgeoning. Overflowing wine presses. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving. Is that the celebration that we have? Is that the type? For me and my family, celebration has been getting through that and getting to Black Friday. The biggest shopping day of the year. You got to get through Thanksgiving quick and rest up a little bit and be ready for the night after. I'm a little bit unhappy with that. Because Thanksgiving is that time of giving thanks. For me, it's a family gathering. Football, eat too much. But a wonderful spread of food and family and connection. Connection with our beloved ones, if we're able. Sometimes it's a hard time because we remember those we've lost. And sometimes it's a hard time because of those that with whom we've become estranged. Thanksgiving. A day to give thanks. A day to give thanks for all the blessings we've received. And maybe this day, if we can take it for this day, is a day to say thank you for all that we've received. How many of you had to sleep outdoors last night? How many of you didn't have enough food on your table? Some of us had plenty of food on our table. We did our clothing giveaway several weeks ago. And I'm always amazed at the amount of clothing that comes in. Clothing that we have so much that we give it away to give in the clothing giveaway. We are blessed. We are overflowing with God's blessings. So I want to ask you a question about happiness. How many of you, I had to take a survey the other day, and they asked, how would you rate your happiness level? Unhappy, relatively unhappy, neither happy nor unhappy, relatively happy, and ecstatic. And I stopped and I thought, it depends on what we're talking about. But our life in general, think about your life in general. And I had to pause and say, I'm happy. There are concerns, there are worries, the projector's going to have to get fixed now. Pia, did you break the projector? I don't know what happened to the projector. But those little pains in the backside are just bits and pieces in a grand picture of being blessed, spiritually just overwhelmed. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's an exciting thing. And if you're not happy, what would it take to be happy? Do you set goals in your lives? I have to tell you a fun story. My dad was born and raised, and the Depression hit when he was a young kid. So he lived through the Depression. His dad was a preacher. So I don't know a lot about that time. He didn't talk about it much. But the reality is that Dad never threw anything away. We were cleaning out the garage one day, and I said, "What is this?" And I picked up a thing. He says, "I don't know." I says, "Why are you keeping it?" And he says, "I don't know." And I said, "Should I throw it away?" He says, "No, it might be a good one." And if he could spend a penny to get two, he would do it. If he could drive another mile for gas a penny cheaper, he would do it. There were days that all of us were just holding our breath, hoping the car wouldn't run out of gas before we got to this gas station that was just a little cheaper than the one down the road. And that's when gas was a quarter a gallon. So Dad pinched pennies, cut corners, didn't spend on anything extravagant. I'd say, "Dad, can I buy one of those?" And the answer was always, "What do you need it for? Can you do without it?" So Dad was frugal. So a funny thing happened. One day, I got a call from Mom. They said, "We're buying a new pickup truck. We need a bigger one to haul the trailer. They go camping on the Mesa, fishing in the Mesa. They needed a little bit bigger truck." So they said, we're gonna get rid of the little Ranger that we have. I said, "I need a truck. I'll buy that from you." And there was some hemming and hawing. Says, "You want the Ranger?" And I said, "Yeah, that's a good little truck. We've taken good care of it, and I could use that." Hemming and hawing. "Okay, all right. Well, we won't sell it then." So I figured out what they were thinking about selling it for, and I wrote a check, and we drove over to Grand Junction to get it, and I went up to Dad, and I handed him a check for the Ranger. And he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he looked at my mom, and he says, "What am I going to do with this?" And I had to blink for a minute. You see, Dad had worked hard his whole life. He had saved and invested and put things in all the different places and prepared for retirement. And he'd reached that goal. He'd gotten there. And here was this money. And he says, "What am I going to do with this? It doesn't fit in with my plans. I don't know where to put it." I had to laugh at him. I says, "It's your problem now, buddy. It's out of my hands. Give me the keys to the truck." But it's an interesting story. Jesus told a story. He told a story about this rich man who was a fool. This rich man who was harvest time, this time of year, and all of the crops were coming in, and there was more crops than he had place to store them. He said, "I don't have enough room to store all of my crops." He says, "So I'll tear down all my barns and build bigger barns." He had established a goal, a finish line in a race, and he'd gotten to the end of the race. He had enough to fill his barns. And instead of stopping, he says, "Well, I'll move the goal further forward." And Jesus said, "You fool, this very night your life might be taken from you. You fool, if you have that goal and you've achieved that goal, what are you about?" I was talking with a young woman who I know just in a passing acquaintance. She's in college. And I love talking to her because I remember those days and I remember how insane it was. And I'm glad that I'm not in it, and so I can laugh at her when she struggles her way through. She's working on these labs, biology labs. Any of you ever go to college and get in the biology area and have to do labs? I've heard horror stories about them. And this gal says, she said, they're hours long and they're tedious and they're difficult and they're precise. And she said, they're just about to wear me down. I said, "How are you doing in the class?" "Well, I think I'm going to make it through it." I said, "Good for you. Hang in there." So she said, "So this is my plan. Finish these labs. Then I have one more semester. If I take three classes in one semester, I can finish. Or I can take two semesters with two classes." And so she's got this plan all laid out. I says, "What are you going to do with it?" She said, "I'm going to become a pharmacy tech." pharmacist. I said, cool. And then I looked at her and she nodded her head very seriously. And I grinned and I said, we make plans and God laughs. And she gave me a funny look. When I was in high school, if you told me that I was going to be in ministry, I would have laughed. Matter of fact, I had an English course and we were required, in high school, were you required to give at least a speech at some point? It was the most miserable couple of weeks of my life. Required to stand up in front of the class and give a speech. And I finally got through and I said, I will never in my life ever do any public speaking. We make plans and God laughs. And that's true. That's true. So Dad, finally, after he was retired, he took all the family that could go. I didn't get to go on the trip with him, but he paid out of all his money that he had carefully put away. He took a little bit out, and they traveled to Alaska. And they saw some of the glaciers, and they saw the salmon fishing. They traveled around. They saw whales. It was one of those bucket list trips. And he went, and he spent some of his money. And he says, this was on important stuff. He said, something I wanted to do since I was just a kid. And I wanted my kids and my grandkids to be able to see all of that. So he had this thing that he wanted to do. And he was able to achieve that goal because God had blessed him and he'd worked hard and he'd saved. And he spent on important things. Things that counted. Things that were focused. And God helps us in that direction. Nalu read that this morning. He said, all shall give as they are able according to the blessing the Lord has given you. Giving is an interesting thing in the church. There are two components to it. One is we are richly blessed and able to do work beyond our own hands by giving. And the other is that we do it the first thing on Sunday as we begin our week, to remember where all our blessings have come from. God is the one who has blessed us. Can you sing? Who gave you those vocal cords? Can you draw? Who gave you that gift and grace? Can you fix a furnace? God gifted us with different ways to be in the world. And we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for this prosperity all around us. This place, this church, this is the stewardship piece. This church, I believe, is worthy of support. We have been doing mission work, and this shirt is a reflection of that. Usually Debbie Gunther is the one that comes up and talks about the different missions that this church does. Oftentimes on Sunday morning, we're not aware of them. There are a lot of things that we do to serve and to care for people and to do important things. And this church provides us a place to come together and support one another, to learn, to grow, to follow Christ, and to give us a place of foundation from which to reach out in the world in Christ's name. So I ask you, as we are approaching Thanksgiving, and as you have all received pledge cards, by this point in time I was going to have extra ones if you didn't have any. Completely forgot that piece. But next week, we're going to bring in our pledge cards. And with our pledge cards, we're going to make our commitment to support this church and the ministry it's doing. So I want you to prayerfully consider that. Prayerfully consider what you've received. And prayerfully consider whether this body of Christ, this church, is worthy of receiving some gifts to you. So we thank God. We give thanks to God on this Thanksgiving Sunday. And we give thanks that God cares for us first and foremost. And we thank God first and foremost. For the Lord your God will bless you in all of your produce and all your undertaking. And you shall surely celebrate. Celebration of booths. Happy harvest. Amen.